certainly, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to the happy day when we'll all be able to see each other face to face and enjoy a nice curry together. Praise God. Now, I'd like to invite you, if I may, to turn to the Word of God, to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and I'll commence my reading from verse 37. So that's Luke chapter 9, verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only son. And lo, a spirit taketh him. He suddenly cries out, and it tears him, and he foams again. And bruising him, hardly departs from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. I just close it there. They're all amazed at the mighty power of God. I'd like to also encourage you, if I may, to read the other two accounts of this wonderful event that may be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and also in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Before we actually come to the Word, though, this morning, it might be appropriate if we pray. Shall we do that? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible book, the Bible, this book that is inspired by the Spirit of the living God. And as we come to it with fear and trembling, Heavenly Father, and we bow our heads and hearts before it, we will ask for that divine light from heaven, even the presence of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of us all, that we might take in and receive its precious message. And in taking this message in, carry out the requests of our Lord Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of the name of God and for the welfare of his church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, please read all three accounts. And you'll see that in the accounts, there's an absolute remarkable unity, and yet there is an incredible diversity and yet individuality in the three accounts. So of course, you can get the full story by reading the three, and that'll be like God speaking to you in stereo. But the remarkable thing is that you can reach and read each account individually and still receive from God a most remarkable message, because each account is in and of itself a unique and has in and of itself a unique and distinct feature. Each account is sort of like a whole in itself, and yet it's part of a greater account that can be found in the two other Gospels. So in reading that account this morning, this account that we're going to consider, we'll find that there are features in it that cannot be found in the others, even though there are features in the others that cannot be found in this. And yet each of the accounts is a whole account. So if you were reading this back in the first century and you only had the Luke account, the message of God would have been just as pure and just as effective to you had you not had the other two Gospels. So let's look at this account and let's see what God has in it and what unique features and distinct features are in it itself for our edification and for his glory. And by the way, when you read the other two accounts, I'd suggest that you approach them in the same manner as we approach this, to see what God has in that particular account that makes it different from the other, and why that emphasis is there. God does not make mistakes. When he tells us in Mark that there were scribes present, he's doing it for a reason. And yet in this account, he omits it, because in this account, the presence of scribes is not necessary for us to understand the message that God wants to convey to us in the account. Now, having said that, let's turn now to verse 38, shall we? And we'll read that. It says, "Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only son." Now, prior to that, we read the account in verse 37 that when our Lord came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, that a great company of people met him there. And it was in the company of these people that this man cried out. It was in their company that he cried out and said that he had a son, as he had cried out for Jesus, and that son was demon-possessed and under great affliction. I want to point out something to you, that he seeks then to the Lord Jesus Christ personally for the deliverance of his son. Now, we read that this company of people in which this man was in the midst of had gathered to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we find in the account that the man has to seek the Lord Jesus Christ on his own and then bring his son with him. Now, this crowd, we're told, met the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the other accounts, it says they did so with great enthusiasm. And we see that here. There were many people came to meet him. So they had gathered to hear the wonder worker. They had gathered to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is in his midst. This man's son is pathetically possessed of a devil. And yet we find this man seeking the Lord Jesus Christ personally, even though he was in a crowd of people who also sought the Lord Jesus Christ. These people gathered to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were negligent. You see what they failed to do, the crowd, when they come to Christ? They failed to bring this man with them to the feet of the Savior. They failed to bring a man from their own midst and his demon-possessed son to the Master to be delivered. Now, isn't that in and of itself absolutely shameful? Let's ask ourselves a question then as we ponder on that. Let's ask ourselves, could this possibly be true of us? If we were there that day, would we be with them and be accused of the same negligence? Indeed, can we be accused of the same negligence even today? Are we like that crowd, content to gather into the person or with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet through negligence bring the needful and others to the Lord Jesus Christ for help? Can we be accused, as they were accused and are condemned, for the sin of assembling to Christ without having a compassion or a desire to bring others to Christ to meet him? That would appear to be one of the grave sins of this gathering. They were prepared to gather to Christ, and yet they did not prepare themselves to bring others to meet the Savior. Are we guilty of that? When we come together, when we are desiring to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, is it in our hearts to bring others to meet the Savior? Or do we stand condemned as this crowd was in our negligence because we failed to bring other people to Jesus Christ? Something to think about, isn't it? Now we find this man crying out. Verse 38. He cries out saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child." we can see this man. He pushes his way through the throngs of people. He is crying out to make himself known to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will go to Christ himself to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Face to face. I want to consider for a moment the faith of this man. And notice something else about him, that when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and seeks the Lord Jesus, he brings his son with him. And to my way of thinking, there is a great example here of what we should be doing. We should follow this man's example. We should do the same as he did. And we too should make every effort daily to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. We must strive to be with Christ, even though the world, a crowd of people, or any other thing might dissuade us or persuade us to try to do something else. No, no, not us. We have to depart from that crowd, and we have to pursue Jesus Christ face to face ourselves. And not only that, we are to do as this man did. We are to bring our afflicted to the Lord Jesus Christ also. Now, that might be by bringing people to the church with us, or it might be also to bring them before the Lord in prayer. As this man did, let's be encouraged to do also. Let's come to Christ daily, and let's bring the lost and the afflicted with us. There's something else here, and it's a way of encouragement. The man comes through the crowd, and he perseveres, and his perseverance is rewarded. He actually makes his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suggest that that's an encouragement to you and I, that if we press forward daily and in our lives to come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we, like this man, will be rewarded. We will get to meet with the Savior, and we will get to commune with him and hear, as it were, his blessed voice, as this man did. So therefore, let's not be discouraged. Let's be encouraged, shall we, by this man's example, and let's be encouraged by the man's success. At the end of the day, he triumphed over the crowd. He made his way to Christ, and he entered into the fellowship that day with the one who is mighty to save and mighty to deliver. I want to read verse 41 now, if we can. And Jesus answered, said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Here we find, in these words, the Lord Jesus Christ's condemnation of the crowd. The crowd of people will gather to see Jesus in great enthusiasm. Yet what they receive from the Lord Jesus Christ is a rebuke. You can have enthusiasm. You can have all the infection of crowd spirit and join a big church and gather into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as these people did. And yet you can still be rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ as they were. And what did our Lord condemn them for being? He says to them that they were a faithless and perverse generation. My, my, I wonder if that's not a portrait of so many churches today. In all of their great enthusiasm, they gather unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they themselves are not really possessed of a true and living faith. They have caught the spirit of the crowd and the spirit of the moment and the music and the hype that we see so much in the big mega churches. And they gather. And yet, the true faith that is found in this sort of man like this, is not evident in their lives. And they have, in their lifestyle, as we can see it, a life that is perverted and turned away from the living God. Now, this man should be commended. And he sets an example to you and I that we are to act in the opposite manner that the crowd did and embrace the faith and perseverance that this man had. The crowd are condemned for their faithlessness and for being perverted. This man, forsaking that, pursues the Lord Jesus Christ and takes his son with him. Now let's follow his example, shall we? Let's follow his example and be faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word. The crowd had not brought this young man, the man's son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in not doing that, they were disobedient to the word of the Lord. For he had said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Forbid it not," he said, "but bring them to me." This crowd of people were negligent and disobedient to the simple requests of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's forsake such faithlessness. Let's forsake such perversion. Let's be obedient to the word of the Lord. Let's be obedient to what he says for us to do. And let's gather to him in faithfulness and in truth, shall we? And when we do it, let's bring others with us. This man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with a request. And we should follow that example also. Many times there are great failures in Christian life simply because they do not bring their requests and prayer to the Lord. And our Lord says through his apostle James, ye have not, because ye ask not. Let's read now verse 40. And we see the nature of this faithlessness of this crowd. This is what the man says of the crowd. He says, "I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." So the man had actually gone to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these disciples failed to deliver the man's son from the possession of the devil. He sought, as it were, help from the church. And he did so first. And the church, or the assembly of Christ, in that place, the people who had assembled in his name and gathered to his name, failed and let the man down. Sadly, this is common enough. And it will happen often to those who are unwise enough to put their trust in men and not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ first. If you put your trust in the church first, if you put your trust in men first, sadly, you're many, many times, if not all the time, going to be disappointed, even as this man was. Do you know, you will never find, and I will never find, grace and help in a church that is not faithful and that is not true to its Lord, as in the occasion that we're reading about in the scripture. Therefore, let's be encouraged to seek the Lord Jesus Christ first. Let him be our first point of call rather than the church. But sadly, we will oftentimes be disappointed if we follow the church first. I want to draw your attention now to verse 42. Let's read that. So this man is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is bringing his son with him. And indeed, our Lord says to him in verse 41, "Bring thy son hither." And we find these words, "And as he was yet coming," in verse 42, "the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." Here we see, in a half a verse really, a summary of the nature of Satan himself. Even as this man is being called to be delivered, Satan will struggle to the end to have the man destroyed. He will make one last attempt to destroy this young man before he can be delivered from by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention to that. And it reveals to us the nature of our great enemy, Satan himself, and the demons that follow him. In doing this to the young man, Satan was showing his hatred. And I suggest, brethren, that Satan hates you as much as he did that young man that day, and will use every opportunity he can, as he did even at the last moment, to destroy you and to prevent you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this to draw your attention to it, in order that you and I might be aware of this hatred and bear it in mind, in order that we can be faithful stewards and faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and do as he's requested and resist all of the attacks of the enemy himself and all that he will do upon us. We're told in 1 Peter that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may. He is ferocious, he is deadly, and his agents and followers are the same. We are told in Revelation chapter 12 that this powerful being, this Satan, is entirely mad with the world. It is in his insanity, knowing that his time is short, is seeking to destroy all of the works of God if he can, while he has the chance. We see that in his heart and in the heart of his followers, the fallen angels, he has no love of God at all. There's no light there at all. He is entirely in darkness, and in his darkness and in his madness, he is seeking to destroy you and I, even as he sought at the last moment to destroy this man. So, beloved Christians, be on guard and expect that as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if the crowd doesn't try to dissuade you not to, then Satan himself will try all of his tricks in his maliciousness and in his hatred to turn you away from going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect it, and expect it all of your Christian life, that the devil will be out to get you. And do what our Lord Jesus Christ has said through his apostle: put on the armor of God, be prepared, and be protected against all the wiles of this great enemy of our souls. But there's good news here. Although the devil would cast the man's boy down to destroy him at the last moment, he has no authority whatsoever. Satan has no authority whatsoever when he's in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 42. At the last part, it says, "And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." You know something? The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of heaven and earth. If you were to read St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, I think in verse 18, he says, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore." So as we resist all the tricks and all the hatred of the devil, as he tries to dissuade and persuade us from departing from the Lord, let's also be mindful of this and be not terrified, that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the ultimate authority in this universe and not Satan. And the Lord Jesus Christ command, at his command, Satan will certainly be defeated and certainly be turned away from his assaults upon God's people. Our text says of the Lord's actions, he simply rebuked the devil and delivered the young man and presented him again to his father. Now, this is clearly a demonstration of the authority and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolute power and absolute authority, and Satan is not even in the contest here. We must bear that in mind. And all of the persecutions that do come upon us are done so by permission of God. And we are given from the Lord the methods by which the devil can be driven out of our lives, and indeed we can triumph over him. The same word that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to rebuke the devil is the same words he gives to us today through the Bible, through which we may triumph over all the power and wiles of our enemy Satan. I want to draw your attention, and I'll wind up here now, and we'll keep this short if we can. The man here, the father, who is called the father, brings his son to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I thought of that, it reminded me of something quite wonderful, and something that is true of myself, and it's true of every one of you. It tells us the method and the way that we came to Jesus Christ. We too were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were brought to him by our Heavenly Father, were we not? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "No man can come to me except to be brought to me by my Father." And he said, "And of all the Father gives me, I will lose none, but raise him up at the last day." What a comfort it is to know that I am a Christian, that you are Christians, that you have come to the Savior because you were brought there by God the Father himself, who presented you to the Savior who restored you, delivered you from the influences and the power of Satan and of sin. And that blessed Savior then delivered you back to your Heavenly Father, completely delivered, completely restored, and completely pardoned. Isn't that an absolutely wonderful thought? You are a Christian. You are a believer today because your Heavenly Father brought you to his appointed Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his death on the cross purged your sins, restored you to fellowship with his Father, with your Father, in perfect harmony. I pray that thought, as we close this morning, will stay with us. And in all, you know, that's happening in the world today, let's consider that. And let's consider the text that we were given earlier this morning, that we have one now, even as I speak, to whom all authority and power is given, who sits at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in the power of an endless life, whoever lives to make intercession for us. We have such a one in heaven, and our souls are eternally secure by virtue of our enthroned Savior, and by virtue of what he has accomplished for us when he delivered us from the power and control and influences of Satan, as he did to that young boy that day in the presence of that great crowd. Amen. I'll just close
this portion in prayer.
Blessed Lord, when we see the world fall to pieces around us in great anxiety, how we marvel that we as believers can have a calmness of soul. We praise you and thank you for it. We praise and thank you for your great deliverance through the virtues of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the preservation of our souls. May these thoughts go with us in the course of this week. And may we carry out our Lord Jesus Christ's request that we may be faithful and true to him. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for the precious word of encouragement. And as the Lord has spoken to our hearts from Hebrews, from Luke's Gospel,